Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. After finishing my 13-week series on the biblical doctrine of civil government, this week it's back to regular commentary on the news. If you're like me, you're probably getting tired of the 24/7 news cycle. Same old nonsense. I would walk away from the whole thing if it weren't for the fact that this is God's world, and we should be aware of what's happening in God's world. These are signs of the time. And current events are a tool to illustrate God's truth. We know what the scripture says about sin, but with modern media, we see firsthand examples of it. And the machinations of human government certainly bring about a knowledge of sin, and that may lead more people to Christ and his kingdom. Like when God allowed the Pharaoh of Egypt, Shishak, to defeat Israel and turn Israel into one of his vassal nations. God explains the reason for allowing the rise of evil. 2 Chronicles 12:8, but they will become his slaves so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. In other words, you want to forsake God, you want to forsake his law, you want to serve sin, then you'll learn what it's like to serve the devil, what it's like to live apart from God's perfect plan. Now, fortunately, the text says that because of Shishak, the elders of Israel and the king humbled themselves. You know, would to God that the people of our nation would humble themselves and turn back to God as they see all of the moral and, you know, economic lawlessness of our civil leaders. Well, the topic for this week is the upcoming election. I'll be giving just some general principles this week, and next week get into more specifics. I want to begin by having us just consider the importance of the vote. What does it really represent? Let's not take it lightly. And here's a text we should consider when it comes to our choices. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. And in the context, the Pharisees were lobbying against Jesus, campaigning against Jesus. And they were saying that he was on the side of Beelzebub, Satan. Do politicians and, you know, political hotheads today ever call their opponents derogatory names? Oh, absolutely. Like Hitler, or even worse, racist. It happens all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with calling a spade. Some people are ambassadors of Beelzebub. But you better get it right. You better not be making the wrong choice in your accusations and in your vote, calling evil good and good evil. And this was Jesus' response to his accusers. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, Jesus also said at this time in regard to those you support versus those you oppose, a tree is known by its fruit. In other words, who you are is exposed by what you say or do. Your opinions, your worldviews are not separate from you. They're not a mistake. They're not mere miscalculations, but a reflection of who you are spiritually and morally. And Jesus said, a tree is either good or bad. The problem is the person himself, his innate character. The fruit, the actions don't make a person. They only show the person. The problem is the bad heart. Jesus then said, you brood of vipers, how can you be an evil? Speak what is good, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The problem is not your mouth. The problem is the heart. And an evil heart will make evil choices. Matthew 12, 35, a good man out of his good treasure brings what is good, and an evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So that's why every idle word, every idle vote, will be judged. because what we do is a reflection of who we are. The vote reflects the condition or the values in our soul. We reflect in the spiritual world, our spiritual condition. That is why the way an individual votes or the way a nation votes is no small thing. Like in this network slogan in election reporting, your vote, your voice. Well, they got that right. As the Bible addresses often, we will be held morally accountable for those we choose to represent us. Those people we want to be our voice. Those we want to be our king, because they are us. So let's look at some examples of voting in the Bible. And the first text that always comes to my mind is in the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 2, verse 11. Quote, if a man walking after wind and falsehood has told lies and said, I will speak out to you concerning wine and liquor, he would be the spokesman to this people. Unquote. So even in the monarchy system of ancient Israel, the people would show their support for certain kings and princes, judges and prophets, based on differing ideologies and policies. And here the prophet is explaining that the people actually want someone who will tell them lies and walk after falsehood. They want to hear lies because they are a people who do not want to hear the truth. What kind of lies? Well, that maybe immorality is okay, that there are good people, that the feudal economic system is just fine. So the representatives these people choose reflect their own false worldview. And furthermore, the people want a representative who will be a good old boy who is like them in their drunkenness. The spokesperson who will talk about wine and liquor will get their vote. Now, it must be pointed out that every politician will call his opponent a liar, one who preaches falsehood. Every politician calls his opponent a bag of wind. You know, after listening to Joe Biden's campaign at Valley Forge, one would think Joe Biden is the epitome of virtue and Donald Trump is a tyrant. Joe Biden sought to identify himself with George Washington and to identify Donald Trump with Adolf Hitler. But then again, after listening to Trump's town hall meeting, one would think that Trump is righteous and Biden is corrupt. Yes, evil will always depict itself as righteous, and righteousness will always depict itself as righteousness. But don't be fooled just by the rhetoric. You know, I imagine those people who believe in relativism, having no moral compass, are very easily fooled by evil. But when the prophet Micah speaks of those who walk after wind and falsehood, biblical morality and the biblical worldview is the standard by which these things are judged. Wind and falsehood would be that which violates the law of nature and nature's God. Immorality, murder, theft, abortion, transgenderism. If you have a God-centered biblical worldview, you will discern who is truly the righteous candidate. But if you're on Satan's side, you will vote for the one who reflects Satan's worldview. Human autonomy, do your own thing. Morality is a human construction. Judge other people according to racial identity, whatever. Moving on to some other examples of people reflecting the state of their soul in their vote. Number 16, the families of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram rebelled against Moses and wanted to set up one of their own in Moses' place. And the people were given a choice whether to be on Moses' side or Korah's side. At Mount Sinai, the people had to make a choice, a vote for policy. Exodus 24:7, then Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we will be obedient. Then the 12 spies returned from checking out the promised land, and the people had to decide whether they were going to be on the side of Joshua and Caleb and go into the promised land, or be on the side of the 10 spies and return to Egypt. Then after the wilderness wanderings for 40 years, the people had to again reaffirm their choice. Deuteronomy chapter 5, the people said again to Moses, "Speak to us all that the Lord our God speaks to you, and we will hear and do it." And then after the people settled in the land, the people again had to choose. Joshua said to the people, "Choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, Joshua wasn't simply asking them to choose a name for their God. The pagan idols of the Amorites and the Babylonians represented a certain worldview, certain lifestyle practices. The God that the people were choosing was a lifestyle choice. And they were, in a very real sense, voting for a political moral ideology. In Judges 6, the people had to choose whether to follow Gideon or to continue to live under the Midianites and Baal worship. Then in Judges chapter 9, the people had to choose whether to continue to follow the leadership of Gideon's family and Jehovah worship or put into power a man named Abimelech. Abimelech's campaign was financed by the priests of Baal. They wanted to finance someone who would take down the rule of Gideon's family because Gideon's family opposed and destroyed the worship of Baal in Israel. These priests wanted revenge. They wanted to put up a leader who would again support Baal worship. So they financed Abimelech. Judges chapter 9, verse 4, Abimelech then uses the money to hire worthless and reckless people to follow him. There's always plenty of people who are willing to support the candidate with an immoral worldview. You know, people of Israel later had to decide between the rule of David and the rule of the house of Saul. Two political parties. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. David represented the serious follower of Jehovah God and God's law. The house of Saul, more ecumenical, quasi-Jehovah worship. And as we see in the history of Israel, the people kept choosing the side of evil, choosing the wrong people. 2 Chronicles 36, the Lord, the God of their father, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his word and scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, until there was no remedy. They opposed those with the correct, righteous, godly worldview. And ultimately, the nation of Israel, like all people, had to choose between Jesus, the way of humility and righteousness, and Barabbas, the political terrorist. And we know how that worked out. Matthew 27, Pilate said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ, Messiah?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I'm innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood be on us and our children." Wow. God holds us accountable for who we choose. Who we choose determines our eternal destiny. And make no mistake about it. When it comes to voting, we get exactly what we deserve, exactly what we need, blessing or condemnation, because the candidates we choose reflect our values. Again, Matthew 12:33, the tree is known by its fruit. Matthew 12:35, a good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and an evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Also, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 6, quote, do not let your speech cause you to sin, and do not say in the presence of the messenger of God that it was a mistake, unquote. Why? Because it's never a mistake. We choose exactly according to the disposition of our soul and the knowledge we have at any given time. The knowledge by which we choose is the knowledge we have chosen to retain and focus on. Now, this is why the Bible speaks about God judging man according to belief. Did you ever pick up on this? Have you ever considered the significance of this? Genesis chapter 15, Abraham believed God, and God counted it to Abraham as righteousness. And also the well-known verse from the prophet Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Back at chapter 2, verse 4, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. To live by his faith is not talking about living by faith, but in order to have life, eternal life with God, it comes by having faith. Those who have faith will live. Those who do not have faith will perish. And faith and belief are synonymous. Faith is the French word, and belief is the Anglo-Saxon word. Both words made it into the King James Version of the Bible because English has both Saxon and French words, but it's the same Greek and Hebrew word. A man is made righteous and has eternal life by belief. And the prophet Habakkuk is not talking about faith in faith or belief in belief or just any belief. The content of that belief must be God's worldview. Remember, Jesus said, God hinges everything upon belief. John chapter 3, verse 15, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. And verse 36, he who believes in the son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow, everything is contingent upon belief. We must believe the right thing. Because what we believe reflects our eternal moral choice. Whether we're on God's side, whether we accept his worldview and authority, or whether we're on Satan's side. And we want Satan's alternative worldview, his lie, his false reality. Now, granted, most people don't realize the implications of their political moral choices. They don't even think very hard about why they choose what they choose, why they believe what they believe. But even though people may suppress their reasons, even though they may rationalize and excuse their moral choices, God doesn't. We are moral creatures who make permanent moral choices based upon who we are and what we believe. And that's why God is going to hold everyone accountable to what they believe. It's a window into the soul. So this is so basic to Christian theology that belief matters. It's so basic that sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we fail to teach it. And by the way, don't think for a minute that those who are on the side of evil don't care about belief, or as if they're willing to accept all beliefs. No, Satan himself cares about what people believe. He knows the allegiances of belief. He just wants everyone to believe his arguments against God. And the political left, for all of their talk about tolerance and moral relativism, they are very dogmatic when it comes to belief. They will protest, they will riot, they will call you evil if you do not hold to their belief. Beliefs matter. And the answer is not relativism. There's no sitting on the fence. It's either a belief in Satan or a belief in God. Back to Matthew chapter 12, the text where Jesus said, every idle word men shall speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. He also added, and I believe if we understand the foundational ideas Jesus is dealing with, this is a crucial part of the issue. Jesus also said, Matthew 12:30, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. In other words, there is no middle ground. We either recognize and follow God, or by default, you're on the side of Satan. There's a good party, there's an evil party, there's a good candidate, there's an evil candidate, there's truth and there's falsehood. And it's discernible. Now, this has to be pointed out because there are many who claim moral equivalency, that both parties are good or both parties are equally evil, or simply there's a mixture of good and evil in both party, that there's a middle ground, you can be for Jesus, you can be for Beelzebub. You know, without a moral compass, there's a lot of confusion. You know, a lesson in this regard is in ancient Israel, in 1 Kings chapter 18, when the wicked king Ahab finally catches up with the prophet Elijah. And he says to Elijah, it's you. You are the troubler of Israel. But Elijah says back to Ahab, I haven't troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, Yahweh, and have followed the Baals. It was the ideology and the belief of the system of Baal versus the ideology and belief of Jehovah. People don't just choose a lifestyle, they choose a lifestyle based on previous moral ideological choices. In the ancient world, these choices were not under the titles of political parties, but under the titles of various gods, which temple you attended. Baal was the ideology of ecumenical pluralism, immorality, child sacrifice, LGBTQ, do your own thing. The goal was immoral freedom. Jehovah worship, Yahweh as it's actually pronounced, was a belief in a higher standard of morality. Marriage is one man, one woman. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What's amazing is that both Ahab and Elijah each attribute the current troubles of Israel, war, famine, economic collapse, to their opponent, to the opposing worldview, the opposing lifestyle, the opposing policy. Does that sound familiar? That's what politics is all about. Now, Elijah and Ahab could go back and forth all day long like two junior high boys, saying, no, you're the trouble of Israel, not me. That's what you are. What am I? Takes one to know one. I said it first. But Elijah ends the conversation by pointing out that there is a standard by which these things can be judged. You are the troubler because you have forsaken the commandments of God and have followed the Baals. Now, at this point, let's use our sanctified imagination, because King Ahab could have made the argument that he believes Baal is the true God, that Baal is really the creator God, and the creator God is really not that interested in human moral behavior, because that's what Ahab and his wife Jezebel believed. But King Ahab says no more. And here's something to always bear in mind. Politicians, social leaders, especially on the left, never really want to reveal or argue the core foundation of their beliefs, because then they would have to reveal their theology. Who is their God and what is his character? If a politician goes too deep into any moral political argument, eventually it comes down to what one believes about who should be the God of this world. So instead, politicians always keep the discussion very shallow and they resort to political sloganeering. and as serious Christians watch political debates, it drives us to despair. The politicians always avoid the elephant in the room. They talk about all of this superficial nonsense and pragmatism and never get down to revealing why they believe what they believe. Like Biden said in his Valley Forge speech, "I'm for the future, but Trump is for the past," which means absolutely nothing. That's not an argument. George Orwell, "Political language is designed to make lies sound truthful, murder respectable, and give an appearance of solidity to pure wind." Or better, in the words of the prophet, Jeremiah 23, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility, emptiness. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace." Or how about 2 Peter 2:19 about false leaders? "They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption." So anyway, back to Elijah and Ahab. Elijah goes on to prove that Jehovah is the true God. He tells Ahab to get the 400 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Ashtoreth and meet him on the top of Mount Carmel. Baal was the male deity, usually depicted as a bull representing strength. Remember the golden calf built by the Israelites in the Exodus? Aaron said, after making the golden calf, "This is your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." And remember Jeroboam, who set up two golden calves for the northern Israelites to worship, one in Dan and one in Bethel. Now, Ashtoreth was the female deity. People often want to worship the feminine. Elijah gets there and he asks the people, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Why? Because like a lot of people today, they're morally clueless and morally confused because of their own sin. What was going on in ancient Israel in the days of Elijah and King Ahab is what happens in every age. The battle between the false God and the true God. It's all about a choice between God's worldview versus Satan's worldview. Am I exaggerating? In San Francisco, there's a Lutheran church pastored by a Reverend Stacy Bourne, who describes herself as a priestess of ritual and has made the church into a goddess-inclusive congregation. She painted the church purple. And you can see in this picture, there's a huge banner of the church. Celebrate the goddess. That is Ashtoreth worship. Like Jezebel's 450 priests of Ashtoreth. And the church states that the purpose of the church is to honor the goddess and the divine feminine, to be in solidarity with all who are oppressed and denied equal rights, to advocate for lesbian, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and queers. Her transgender co-pastor has placed idols of various gods throughout the sanctuary. And in the leadership of the church is a witch who offers astrology readings and celebrates the yearly solstices and equinoxes. This church is part of the Sierra Pacific Synod of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And similar congregations are all over America in various degrees. And this is the religion, the ideology of our state universities and political parties. You might say that's an extreme example. Not really. This is where most people are at when their belief system is exposed. Here's another example. The Commonwealth Games in the UK, In the opening ceremony, the people worship Baal. You've probably seen this, but for those who have not, check this out.
But of course, for all the color and noise, the characters, the invention, this was an industrial area.
Stella and our athlete dreamers call for a moment of reflection and of light as she and the bull call for a moment of reconciliation, all is stilled.
It's time for the shards to work their magic again. Stella and the dreamers use them to call for a moment of reflection and reconciliation.
In fact, it's the chain makers that we saw earlier. And they lift away the bull's armor, the symbol of his enslavement and theirs. And he will be revealed as an iconic symbol of light, just as the names of the women chainmakers who fought for their rights and better working conditions in the early 1900s will be lit up around the track and on the main stage tower.
So together, along with Stella and the dreamers, they will heal the hurt and they will lift away the bull's armor to reveal him as a symbol of light and love.
He will, by the way, have a permanent place in the theatrical and inspiring Open Ceremony and these games.
Well, enough of that. Of course, the idol is described as a symbol of freedom, deliverance from oppression, a symbol of love. But that's exactly what the ancients thought about the god Baal. Baal symbolized an ideology. The ideology of the deification of man and the rejection of the worship of the one true God. I really believe if the ancient prophets of Baal were transported to 2024, they would be understood and loved by people today. They would be immediately hired to be DEI officials. Everyone chooses. Your vote, your voice. Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, as I mentioned in my radio program, I was planning to go on here and cover some points about recent campaign speeches, Biden at Valley Forge and Trump at, you know, the Fox News town hall. But that's going to involve a long discussion. I'm just going to have to save that for next week. I guess this is just an introduction to the importance of the vote and the essence of the two sides. But I hope you see what we're trying to accomplish here. A weekly Bible study. Rather than just listening to the news and pundits, hear from God's word. Learn scripture. Learn scriptural values and principles. For those of us who know the Lord, it's just a blessing to be in the word. Thanks for taking the time to hear the word. Stand firm in the faith. May Jesus Christ reign.